Welcome to Section 314 Podcast. My name is Sam, and unfortunately, Maggie is out tonight with a illness, so she will not be joining us. But I do have Eric here, or Robert Thomas, the Tank Engine, as you all know him. And today we're just going to be going over, you know, the recent, you know, four-game homestead and the game in Utah, and just kind of figuring out what the Blues need to do to, you know, finally get over that hump of a three-game win streak and, you know, find a way to kind of make a push for the playoffs and kind of secure that spot. So what do you say we go ahead and get started, Eric?
Sounds good. It's actually kind of funny that you mentioned that because before we started, I was listening to your last episode and it was talking about pretty much the same thing, the Blues not able to get over, you know, the Blues can't seem to count to three when it comes to wins. And Nathan Walker had a fight, so it's like history is repeating itself a lot with the Blues lately.
Yeah, it's just kind of like back and forth. So we, you know, we started off with like a nice win against the Ducks, you know, recognizing Cam Fowler and stuff like that, especially getting a nice win against the Ducks. I think the Blues in that game, we were quick with the puck after, like, you know, intercepting the puck, you know, a couple times, or, you know, just picking up on those loose pucks in the neutral zone and stuff like that. We were quick to jump on them and quick to get in the ozone and get our shots off. And that's really how we kind of ended up getting six goals, because we just kind of kept that consistent pressure all game. And that's that, you know, six goals was the result. And, you know, that's what happens when you put your foot on the gas.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but they say all the time, you know, put the puck on the net and good things will happen. And that was a perfect example of it, because it just kept happening. And there were goals that you wouldn't always, there were a couple that, there were a couple that you wouldn't have been expecting to go in. And that's what happens when you shoot the puck. Sometimes you're going to get lucky like that. And sometimes I'd rather be lucky than good.
Yeah, exactly. So statistically, the Blues, you know, have been doing better under Jim Montgomery. So what's it going to take for this team to finally get over that two-goal hump and finally get three wins in a row? Because I think we've had maybe, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, like seven chances maybe to get a three-game winning streak. And we've gone over seven on all those chances so far this season.
I think I saw that we're up to eight, so 0-7-1. So, yeah, that is just a crazy weird stat. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, and it talks very specifically to the Blues' consistency. They just cannot seem to find that consistency. And when they're all clicking, I mean, the team can play like a powerhouse. But for some reason, once we hit that third game, the entire team falls apart. It's like not just a few people here and there. It's like the entire team suddenly forgets how to play the game.
And right. It's like, are we gassed? Are we out of breath? You know, are we too tired from these other games that we're playing hard? Or is it just like we're getting complacent? Like, it's just weird. It's how we just keep finding this. We keep repeating this terrible habit, and it's not gonna be successful if you keep doing that. Even if you're, you know, close to like a playoff spot or a wild card spot, like if you keep this up, you will not last long, whether you make the playoffs or not.
Yeah, I think complacent is probably a good word. Like games like this last one against Utah, the Utah Hockey Club, whatever they are, they came out hard, and the Blues, even though they scored early, I mean, they were very quickly overwhelmed, and they just never really got that back. Even when they tried to close the gap on that score, once they were behind the eight ball, they couldn't get out from behind it. And it was just really kind of painful to watch some of those sequences. Like the one goal where Blues are falling all over themselves, and then it just sneaks in. They get the shot and pass between Bitter and the post, and it's like, oh, come on. You guys, all you guys got to be better than that.
And it's like, if you kind of like look at the pattern, in my opinion, you know, everybody's got, you know, their own opinion. If you look at the pattern, you know, especially against these two games get at home against back-to-back against the Flames, like one on a Tuesday night, the other one like the final, you know, 2 days later on a Thursday. It's like both those, like the first game we won like 2-1 and the second game we won like 4-1 or something like that. But what you notice in those games is in most of the games that the Blues win is like they get off to a quick start. They get their shots off. They put the pressure on. They get the lead early. And then, you know, when they kind of set the tone there, that's what kind of dictates the rest of the game. And that's how they kind of walk away with some of these games. Or even then, like, that's how they come, you know, that's how they fight back from, like, you know, a 1 or 2 goal deficit. And they end up winning the game because, you know, they put the pressure on early and they kind of just keep that tone. Yeah. And then against, you know, against Columbus at home, you know, Columbus kind of got off to a quick start and they put the pressure on us and they kind of just, you know, played us at our own game, and that's how we lost to them. That's how they've had our number, you know, that game at home, and then the week before in their barn. And then, you know, with Utah, we got a goal really quick in that game, right off a faceoff. And, you know, I was like, okay, here we go. We, you know, we're putting the foot on the gas. And then they just kind of played us at our own game and brought the pressure. They, you know, got a Glenn Keller fast with the puck. They had their fast passing, their fast shots. They were just fast all over the place, and they're moving fast in the open ice to kind of just discombobulate us. And it just, we didn't know how to respond to it. And that's something we got to address, is how to respond to be quick and match that energy if we're not setting the tone.
And be honest, I mean, the Utah team has one line, really, that is a legitimate threat. And that line got every single goal. And they could score on us basically at will, and that was really kind of hard to watch, because we do have players on that skill level on the Blues. It's just getting them to all click at the same time. I mean, when the Blues come out with a fast start, there are two polar opposite directions that's going to go in, and there's no in between. Either they're going to go hard and keep it up for the entire game, you know, the old cliche, full 60 minutes, or they're going to kind of sit back, and the other team is going to see that opportunity and they're going to pounce on the Blues, and then the Blues are demoralized and scrambling to keep it together. That time is usually just too late. They can't get it together. Sure, there are times where they like make that last minute, like last 5 minutes of the third period push and come close. But that's all, it almost always seems to be too little too late.
Yeah, I agree with you. And so, like, obviously, like, you know, we're talking here about how we need, you know, to set the tone, and or we either need to set the tone, or we either need to quickly match that tone of whatever that gameplay is for the night. And that's something that we've just kind of been undisciplined with. So with that being said, you know, it's kind of pretty obvious now at this point that we're kind of recognizing, to see more wins out of this team, is it more of like a, you know, to kind of follow suit with that, and just kind of, what's the best approach to kind of get to that point? Is it more of a, we need to change lines kind of thing, in your opinion? Or is it like, we just need more guys to step up overall on the roster? And to me, I think it's just overall, like, we just need more players to show up, because it just seems like the same four or five guys, you know, switching on and off each game that show up. And I just think we need more, we need a better overall performance and progression from other players overall, especially in these games where we need to, you know, match the energy.
Yeah. The messing around with the lines, that's, yeah, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. It doesn't make building, what's the word I'm looking for? That line energy, that rapport with each other. You know, they're not working, you know, keep moving around. They're not going to be able to get used to each other. Monty talks about in his press conferences, you know, wanting the players to be predictable with each other. Well, you can't do that if you've got Bolduc on the first line one game, Neighbors on the next, in the next one, and Texier out of nowhere is playing it on a third one. So it's like, yeah, they can't, we got to give them a little chance to gel together. And, you know, like the Holloway Shen Kyrou line. Well, that's pretty freaking awesome. I mean, that one delivers pretty consistently.
Yeah, it's a lock. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the other lines, they still seem, well, the WTF one seems to be pretty good together. But, you know, the others, it's, you know, you're never really sure what you're going to be getting from them.
And is there someone on the Blues roster, like right now, that you would, like, maybe be okay with trading, like before the deadline, to kind of say, all right, like, you know, we're close to a wild card spot. We're trying to push for the playoffs here. We need to kind of, we're going to have to kind of cut this guy. Like, would you trade somebody before the deadline right now? Or do you think we're fine? We just kind of got to get out of our funk and just be disciplined.
I think there are probably opportunities to trade people. It makes me sad to say this, but Saad, it'd be sad to see Saad go. I've liked him since he came here, but he is, even after that hat trick he had the other night, he just doesn't really seem to have much of a place on the forward lines right now. He doesn't have much of an identity. Getting healthy scratched certainly isn't going to help his confidence, but at the same time, he's not really earning his spot. And Bolduc gets scratched a lot, and forget about Bolduc now. We're talking about people that we could trade. Thought I'd be okay with trading. Justin Falk, probably he was out with that injury, I think, last season, and he just has not really regained his form. And adding Cam Fowler, Tyler Tucker getting, you know, starting to gain a little consistency and improve performance. I kind of feel like Falk could be the odd man out on the defense. And I know that that Gibbs on Twitter is not going to be happy with me if he hears that one. The Falk teams are all going to shun me, but it's okay. He might do better on another team in a reduced role. Falk, like Ryan Suter, is being relied on for too many minutes. And that's even with Falk being on the third pairing. Still,
it's just, yeah, not. And in my opinion, like what I appreciate is like I feel like everybody was calling, you know, Kyrou out last season for, you know, not stepping up to the plate enough and stuff like that, for, you know, for his age and his talent. And then this year it seems like he's proven himself a lot more. So it's like that's exactly what we want. That's all we need to see, you know, just a little bit more effort from these players that, you know, show up and say, you know what, like, I'm here to prove myself and I'm here to win. And that's just all we need, just a little bit more from a couple more players. And, you know, you got yourself a really competitive team, especially with, you know, Shen's line and stuff like that. If you get like one or two more of those, you know, you're talking about a dangerous team, especially with Binnington and Ned, obviously. And I think overall, I think Hofer is a really solid backup. You know, I think both of them, you know, every once in a while they'll have a game where like they allow a weird goal to go in, but I think overall they're both really solid. It's like whenever Hofer steps in, it's like, oh man, it's like, hopefully he shows up. It's like, no, like, I know, I trust in his confidence, like, that he's gonna step up and stand on his head for the night. And so, like, that's exactly what we need from just all four of our lines.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like to be that big a deal to just keep doing. I mean, you did it 2 days ago. you did this exact thing and you did it fantastically over and over and over again. The structure of these plays, they're almost always not one-off. Cycling the puck, you're forechecking. You're doing this over and over and over again. And then 2 days later, you can't do any of it. I've had bad days at work where I can't really focus on things and I make some dumb mistakes. But for the most part, when I go to work every other day or go to work every day, I'm putting in about the same level of consistency. And, I'm not a professional athlete, so I can't really say, I can't really speak to that experience, obviously. But it's like, that needs to be focused, especially when the coach is saying it every day. You got the coach that you wanted. You got the coach that we all wanted. Listen to him.
Yeah, exactly, for sure. It's like, like you just said, everybody has a bad day at work, and, there's days where you're just too worn out, or your stuff's going on outside of work, whatever that might affect you mentally, physically, whatever. But it's like this. It's like you just look at the schedule, and we physically cannot get 3 wins in a row. It's like you show up and play, full 60 minutes the first 2 games, and then it just eventually collapses, and it times right perfectly every single time, and you're just kind of left wondering what just happened.
Yeah, it is so frustrating on our end, and I'm sure it's got to be twice as frustrating for Monty, and even more frustrating for the players, for the guys. It's like, why is my pass not going to the right person? Why am I not seeing this guy picking off my pass and breaking in for a goal? I know better than this. So I'm sure that's rough on their part, but like, you guys got to kind of mentally be prepared for these games. And then sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't.
And I think that's the problem when you play teams like, the Blue Jackets, from the game at home, or Utah the other night. It's like when they start bringing that pressure, we play defense, but it's like we're too defensively minded at that point. And they're all over us, and at some point, one of those shots is going to go in, and we did the same thing, exact thing to the Ducks. We did the same exact thing to the Flames. It's like we put the pressure on, you take your shots off, and you're just creating havoc, and eventually one of those shots is going to go in, and it showed. And it's like we just got to put our foot down and just be aggressive. We have to be aggressively defensive minded and back check hard. It's like we figured out, like, we can be, an aggressive offensive team. We can figure out that, okay, we can be good at getting the puck out quick or whatever. But it's like, you also, it's just, you can't be too defensively and just let them just do whatever with the puck. Like, they're on a freaking power play when it's 5-on-5. Sometimes I look out there and it's just, they're bringing so much pressure. It's like, are these guys on a power play? And it's just 5-on-5. And we're too defensively minded at that point sometimes.
Yeah. Speaking of power plays, I am a huge fan of Oscar Sundquist, but please get him off the power play. I know that they're trying to have a big body in front. The only problem is Sonny isn't that good at doing anything else in front of him. So, it's like he keeps trying to tip shots from the point, and they're going all over the place. It's not like the days with David Backes in front of the net where you could slap the puck from the top of the arena and he would find a way to deflect it in. This Sonny is like the opposite. A laser shot comes from the point, Sonny deflects it and goes in the completely wrong direction. I was watching that specifically because I've seen so many comments about how bad Sonny is on the power play. Like, well, you guys aren't expecting what Monty is looking for. And then I watch him, like, no, he just really isn't cut out for that sort of thing. And not to say that Sundquist can't be offensive minded, because he most certainly can be, but this season, his stick has definitely run cold.
Yeah, he's definitely one of the players that I think needs to step up and progress. You know, it's like, you know, he, you know, everybody loves Sonny. You know, he loves St. Louis, and we love him right back. But you know, if you want to be here, we're going to see some effort. You know, it's especially, you know, it's where we expect, you know, greatness out of our team, not perfection, but we expect, you know, a great team when we put him out there. You know, for the Cardinals or for the Blues, we expect greatness. And especially if you want to be here, we want to see that greatness, you know, night in and night out when you're at home. So we need you to step up a little bit.
Yeah, the Blues have committed to you, Sonny. You need to commit back. And I doubt it's anything conscious that's going on with them, but come on. But you really got to, you know, just kind of hunker down and focus, as he's being put on the third line, and he has not been a third line center, and he certainly hasn't been a power play center. Others who could fill that role more effectively right now. We keep seeing Texier and Bolduc scratch. I don't think either of them deserve to be scratched over Sundquist. But, and maybe Sonny needs to kind of take a breather for a little bit, just like he's doing the Bolduc. I'm not going to say that I've been like super impressed by Bolduc, but he certainly has not had the kind of struggles that Sundquist has.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, sometimes it's like a painting, you know, you gotta take a step back to actually like analyze and see what's up or what it is, you know, for what it really is or whatever. So we're in Vegas tomorrow night, and then we come home for three games against Vegas, Dallas, and Vancouver, and then we go on the road again. So what do you kind of see out of these? Because, you know, you got Vegas at away, Vegas at home, Dallas, Vancouver. And then you go on the road against the Avs, you know, all Western Conference teams here. So these are a lot of important points to snag. So what do you think of this? What do you think of how this team going into these games coming up to end the month of January?
Dallas, Vegas twice, Vancouver. At that four game stretch, I think if the Blues come out of it 500, that's probably a success. Vegas is going to be a monster. Not to say that they can't beat Vegas, because they certainly can, and they have done so, you know, in the past, but that team is kind of taking it up another level again. I don't know how they keep doing that, but their record is in the Western Conference at this point is kind of ridiculous. And the Blues are going to Vegas tomorrow, and it's a holiday, and it's a weird start time, and those things always seem to create a perfect storm of a freaking mess for the Blues.
They always do. I said this on one of my episodes. Obviously it goes for other times as well, but I was like, just weird. I was like, afternoon games for the Blues, it's just like, count them out. Like they're not going to win, and it's shown time and time again.
Yeah, it's like we got a 5 o'clock central start time. I was really confused until I remembered what tomorrow is. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Tomorrow is a King Day, the national holiday, yada yada. But yeah, that's not likely to be great. Coming back, gotta play Vegas here. I think that has a decent shot of being a good game. It depends on how, I think it depends a lot on how tomorrow goes. Dallas, it's hard to tell with Dallas because they have been up and down this season. I think they're definitely going to be a challenge. Vancouver always plays this hard, although I think we've had a few games where we can done well. So I think that's probably hopefully our best bet of them playing up to the competition and not playing down. And right now, Vancouver is, I think they're below us. Not 100%.
Vancouver is right outside. Yeah, they're right outside the wild card spot, 2 points ahead of us.
Yeah, okay, yeah, yeah. They're 9, we're 10, I think, right? Does that sound right? Okay, anyway, they're close. I was looking at the standings earlier, and I can't remember anything. But yeah, Vancouver really is going to be desperate, but so is Calgary, and the Blues made short work of them twice in a row. I mean, it's like if we could just bottle the Blues from those two games and release it against Dallas and Vancouver, that would make a big difference.
Yeah, we have a ton of Western Conference teams coming up, so we definitely need to lock it. We're looking right outside of the wild card spot right now, and the Stars have a nine point lead on us for the third place spot in the Central. So now's the time to like lock in and get the points while you can before it slips out of your hands. And next thing you know, it's February. Then you only got 2 months left to hockey, 2.5 months left to hockey, and so you don't want it to slip away while you got all these Western Conference teams right in front of you when you have the chance to lock in here.
Yeah, we basically the next month and a half or so, the Blues need to give Doug Armstrong hard decisions at the trade deadline on whether on what he wants, whether he's going to add or subtract or do nothing. Like we don't want it to be obvious to be going into a fire sale in March. Not that I think he would do that anyway, but give him some tough decisions to make, because if he has tough decisions to make, then that means that they're doing better than they are now.
Yeah, and exactly. With not much time left with the Army in charge, it's like, these decisions, they not only affect you, but making these decisions at the trade deadline, it could potentially affect Steen as well as your new GM. So you got to take that in consideration and make sure you build them up for a good team with all these young prospects coming up in the next few years that you could bring us a really good team.
Yeah, I think Steen has the right mindset to be a really good GM. He's always seemed to be kind of the no BS kind of player. I mean, we've heard all sorts of stories about him trying to take charge of things at Enterprise, from music to complaining. I heard once that when the ice would be bad at Enterprise Center, they would always hear from Steen about it. So he knows how to take charge. He knows how to succeed. He knows how to work with players. This team, a lot of the players that were left from when he was still here look up to him. So I think that's going to make him a really good GM. Plus, he's learning all the best stuff from Army right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, the offer sheets to Broberg and Holloway, it's like, those were rare opportunities that Army decided, forget it, let's go all in. But it's also a great learning experience for Steen that, again, like Army said, if you're gonna, there's no rule against that. I do that to my mom. It's like, okay, Steve, now remember, if your mom has players that with offer sheet possibility, make sure to go for it. I don't know if Steve's gonna like it too much, but
So I think we pretty much covered everything here. Do you have anything else to add before we get out of here?
Yeah, I do. I have one thing that was kind of making me crazy earlier. The Blues are doing the jersey bracket, which, by the way, I did first. And they won't
acknowledge. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that tweet.
Yeah, I remember. I had fun doing that. I had a few different selections, and the Blues have released like 200 or 300 new jersey designs since then. But I'm very disappointed with how the first round of votes came out, because all the very plainest, and not. Don't get me wrong. These are all the really good looking jerseys. But none of the more novel jerseys made it out. I was really kind of shaking my fist angrily when this year's Winter Classic didn't make it out of the first round, and the yellow reverse retro didn't make it out of the first round. I'm like, I like those. Come on.
Yeah, Yeah, it's crazy how what will make people like vote for a jersey, whether it's like the color or like the font or the wording or like where it's located. And it's kind of interesting how that works out. It's like, I respect, me personally, like, I respect a lot of like the old, like nice retro, like the 80s jerseys, the 90s jerseys, but I also, there's like a couple, like, you know, modern jerseys where I'm like, I really like those.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the fun things about hockey is, you know, they've got the best looking uniforms in any of your major sports. And I mean, that's just a pretty much, across the gamut of pro and even college sports. And you can have a lot of fun with them. And, you know, but I guess sometimes what's simple is best, and that's what our fans have chosen. And my dream of seeing the mid-80s Ornis jerseys as the greatest Blues jersey of all time has officially come to an end.
What we should do is like do like a bracket of like what's the next, you know, like restaurant that, what's the next like local food chain in St. Louis that should be added to Enterprise Center. That's what we should do.
Let's see, we got them. What do we have left? We got High Point and Line Story,
Emo's, Crayon Candy. Maybe, yeah, like gonna, maybe like a place, maybe like a sandwich place from like the Hill.
Things like, I was always a fan of Pickles Deli downtown, but I don't know, they probably wouldn't be quite big enough for that. Maybe Snarf Sandwiches. They seem to be. I've heard good things about them. Or get a hot salami at the Blues game from, I don't even know how to say that restaurant. Joey? Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that'd be a fun.
Yeah, that would be cool. I would definitely have some input on that. Yeah, I keep telling my friend Colleen, who's the one who designed the new profile pic with Robert Thomas's face on the train.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always tell her that we should like create like a fast food podcast together because we talk a lot about that together. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. But I just wanted, you know, sorry, Maggie couldn't join us tonight. You know, she was out ill. But I want to thank you for, you know, joining me tonight and, you know, just talking Blues hockey and just hanging out.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Well, you know, you heard it here. You know, Eric, you know, Thomas the Tank Engine was on here, Section 314 podcast. Thank you so much for listening. You know, we got a lot of Western Conference matchups, so it's time for the Blues to lock in. And until the ice is clean again, we'll see you guys next time. Section 314 podcast, your favorite online tailgate.